Eric Duhatchik and Al Morganti, our regular guests at this time on a Wednesday. It is the East West Hot Stove. Gentlemen, thanks for chiming in. As always, I'm going to start with you, Morganti. I don't know if, to me, Paul Holmgren seems like a mild-mannered, quiet guy. I don't know that he would be, you know, thirsting to see his team in the headlines every day, but it sure feels that way as yesterday the news coming out that the Flyers will indeed buy out Danny Briere once the Stanley Cup final is over. And they're also going to buy out Ilya Bryzgalov, the goaltender, even though he's got tons of money left. Then, all of a sudden, his agent, Rich Winter, says, no, wait a minute. I got told by Paul Holmgren that they're not buying him out. Holmgren then says, I didn't tell Rich Winter anything. What is going on in your city?
Wild for a team not in the playoffs. And like you said, with Holmgren, you know, we compare him to Clint Eastwood. That's how he talks. He's, you know, low-key or whatever, and then he'll just, you know, shoot you between the eyes. I believe he could lie to anybody. I mean, that's the job of a general manager. I don't actually think they want to get the Bryzgalov thing done. I believe the TSN's on the right track, that it's pretty much they made that decision, if it's possible. However, there's still a lot of posturing to do. If they indeed want the Bernier, if they have to make a deal for a goaltender, they want at least some semblance of, we don't have to do something. You know, we don't have to go and overpay for a goalie again. Goalie markets are very strange. I think he's trying to maintain some posture that we have options, when, in fact, I don't think they have much of an option with Bryzgalov. If he does come back, it's going to be an ugly sell to the fan base.
In addition to that, as you mentioned, Jonathan Bernier, Nick Kiprios with Sportsnet says, keeps hearing Bernier either to Toronto or the Philadelphia Flyers. Plus, word coming out yesterday that maybe Bobby Ryan is being shopped, and I would not find that hard to believe because he has been in the past. And of course, the Philadelphia Flyers are in the market for it. Not a player available ever that the Flyers have not been interested in.
No, the Flyers would be a terrible wife, because every flyer that came in the mail with a sale, they'd be at the store first in the morning. So, that's what you deal with here. It's like they can't control themselves. And part of it's the ownership, always impatient to do things. The Ryan thing is very interesting, because he grew up here. There's a lot of history here with all of the legal issues that were involved in his family when he was growing up. He obviously it ties to the community with the dad and the mother. I don't know that they necessarily are 100% in on this. I know that he would like to be here as a player. I know that would be the first preference. But I don't think that they're entirely convinced that it'd be a good idea. I think they need to get the goaltending done. And the logical thing is, you've already mentioned a goalie and a forward. They need a defenseman badly, and in my opinion, they overpaid for Strite. So I would think, if there's any way they think they can get a premier defenseman in the draft, they're not going to make any kind of deal that would involve that pick.
Eric, to you on Bobby Ryan, there was rumors, plenty, before Getzlaff and Perry signed their big money contract extensions. What would the market be for Bobby Ryan? And I guess, if Anaheim's going to trade anybody, why would it be Ryan?
Well, I think that at the end of the season, you know, it was a really good season for Anaheim, but their assessment was that they didn't like the way it ended. And the thing that they liked the least about it was the fact that when Justin Abdelkader went after Tony Lidman and concussed him and injured him, the whole series shifted, because Lidman had been the guy that had been helping to keep Datsyuk and Zetterberg in check. And their theory was that, you know, that he just had that sort of poor man's Nick Lidstrom way of positioning himself against these guys, and without him in the lineup, you know, those two Red Wings forwards exploded, and they ultimately lost the series. So that they didn't like a lot about that particular incident. They felt that they just needed to react more in that situation. So I've been believing all along that this is, see, I'm surprised that the Ryan thing leaked out, because I was convinced that this was the year, because we've been hearing so much Bobby Ryan stuff over the years, right? Every summer, Bobby Ryan, Bobby Ryan, Bobby Ryan. And I made a prediction to some friends. I said, this is the summer that Ryan actually gets traded, because they're really going to try and keep it down. They're going to try and shop him discreetly, because I think that for a lot of reasons, including, you know, do you put all of your money into your forwards? I mean, you've got so much tied up in Getzlaff and Perry now, in the same way that Pittsburgh has Crosby and Malkin. I think you just have to apportion parts of your budgets, this much to forwards, this much to defensemen, this much to goaltenders, and, you know, Ryan is going to be an expensive guy to re-sign, so now is the time to move him. Now, you know, like, what do you get with Bobby Ryan? Well, you get a guy that can score some goals and is a really terrific kid in the dressing room, but I don't think he's a lot different than James Van Riemsdyk. So essentially, you know, you're trading back for a version of a player that you gave away last summer in order to get a defenseman. But you know what? I mean, I think he's been a supplementary player in Anaheim for a long period of time. I would really like to see what a change of scenery would do for Bobby Ryan, if he could take his game to the next level, if he could really be a classic power forward. I don't know if he could, but I'd be very interested to see if he can. And can you ask me about Bernier? Because I kind of know, I'd really like to talk about that one, too.
Eric, what do you know about Jonathan Bernier?
Well, I know that they were trying to auction him off. So Bernier switched agents this week. So he hired Pat Brisson. And, you know, the Bernier camp made it clear to L.A. that they've been playing good soldier for years and years there, and they're just not going to sign as a restricted free agent there. So basically L.A. decided, okay, we are going to try and auction him off, and we are trying to get a deal done, and we are hoping to get the deal done before the draft, days before the draft if they can. So they basically received expressions of interest from 12 teams, and then two withdrew right away. So there were 10 teams that expressed some version of interest in him, and now it's just a matter of going around to the various teams, circling back. I've been offered this, can you do better? I've been offered that, can you do better? That sort of thing. And the only thing about the Toronto thing that makes me think, I wonder if they would trade him to Toronto, is I don't think they're very happy with Tim Lywicki in L.A. right now because of all of the things he said on Leaf TV about L.A. not being a hockey town, and, you know, he comes to Toronto and it's the greatest thing on earth, and it was like, wow, they felt betrayed. So I don't see how, you know, they're going to trade Bernier to Toronto unless the absolute best deal available is from the Toronto Maple Leafs. Plus, the times that I saw Bernier, and I saw virtually every start that he made this year, has convinced me that he is the real deal. So, you know, circling back to what Al was talking about with Holmgren, I mean, that's a town that kills goaltenders, but I would really think that if they got Bernier, maybe once and for all, they would solve the problems. I think he's going to be terrific wherever he goes.
Eric Duhajic, Al Morganti, the East-West Hot Stove. Back to you for a moment, Al. The New York Rangers expected to announce tomorrow and introduce their new head coach, Alain Vigneault. 5-year deal, which is a little bit unorthodox, $10 million. He'll be highly paid. I guess, to me at least, common sense winning out over a hiring of a Wayne Gretzky or a Mark Messier. What are you hearing out your way about the Rangers in this hire?
Yeah, I was surprised. I thought they'd go the Messier route, but they went with a hockey decision, I think, purely here. And it makes sense, which is why I didn't think the Rangers were necessarily going to do it. I'm surprised they didn't go with the glamour thing with Messier. I wonder now Messier's future with the organization, what he's going to do, if he's going to, you know, continue to think he can go on there or just go somewhere else. But I think it's going to be very, very beneficial. Now, I want to see what they do with their star player that didn't play, you know, what's going to happen here. I think it's a good start for them. It's a team that can be coached. Tortorella, when he was there before, he kind of burned things out at the end. They proved a group that could listen. I think it'll help them tremendously in keeping Lundqvist, if there was any chance he was going to go, because I think they're going to be a better team because of it here. So a wise hockey decision, and not great for the media that would have been there with Messier eventually, but it's a logical, sane choice, and they're going to be a better franchise because of it.
The one thing it allows you to do is it allows you to postpone the Brad Richards buyout decision, because, you know, Vigneault can meet with Richards and say, look, you know, clean slate for you. Whatever happened last year doesn't matter. Like, I know a lot of people believe that the reason that Richards struggled this year was because he wasn't really ready to go after the lockout, that he got involved in some of the negotiations, and that, you know, that players had different levels of preparedness for when the puck dropped. They, you know, they didn't have the full training camp. They went by real quick, and he just never got up to speed. But I think there's an awful lot of people that watched him that believe that with a regular summer of training and a regular training camp, he is still a young enough and a viable enough player that he can bring you all the things that Brad Richards brings to the mix. So I don't think you have to buy him out now. I think you can. These two guys will start with a fresh beginning, and I think that Brad Richards can be a real good player again for them for a lot of reasons. And so if you can salvage a player of that caliber and a player that would cost you that amount of money and not have to make that buyout decision because your coaching hire is an expensive one, that's still money well spent.
Eric Duhatchik, Al Morganti, our East-West Hot Stove continues here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan. The Calgary Flames did something this week they rarely do, and that's admit something that a negotiation from behind the scenes. Ken King did go and confirm that the Flames have met with Brendan Shanahan in terms of a potential, I don't want to speak. They met, they're looking at increasing the number of people in the hockey operations department. Brendan Shanahan would be a key part of that. People that we've talked to here, it feels like it's an eventuality. Start with you, Al, from his days as a player to now his workings within the National Hockey League. Your thoughts on Shanahan making a very quick and significant move to a hockey ops post?
I think he's a terrific addition to any organization. I think he's being a terrific addition to any company, the way things are done. I was impressed. I know he had the detractors. It's a tough job to have. But I liked it. I liked the way he was forceful after the lockout a while ago on getting things changed and taking an overall look at things. I just think he's a good organizational guy, and I don't care what the company. I think he'd be good in the NBA. So I don't think you can make a mistake going that way. The only fear I would have is if I was hiring him is that he'd have my job real quick.
Eric?
Oh, that never enters in.
Yeah, that never enters in.
Well, I mean, I believe me, it's a smart guy. When he was a player, he was thinking big picture thoughts. I mean, two lockouts ago, it was his initiative that said, look, let's talk about where the game is going and let's see if we can make it better because this is ridiculous. It's not very good and we've got to make it better. So, to be able to think big picture thoughts, even when he was still a player, I mean, that's the essence of management, isn't it? To see the big picture, to see further down the road, to not make snap decisions. I mean, most of my dealings with him have been, just as Al says, thorough professional. In fact, I saw him in the corridor after the story broke, and I said, next GM of the Flames, and he smiled, and, he did exactly what he needed to do. It was cordial, and he didn't say anything of consequence. So he's got the right chops for it, and I think he would be a real good addition. I mean, if what, people are suggesting in terms of how they're restructuring the front office in Calgary, you do need more people. I mean, someone is going to have to carry the ball in terms of moving forward with the new building, trying to match what Edmonton has got there. And you're rebuilding a franchise, and that takes a lot of work. So, adding somebody who can really think and who can really plan and who is grounded in the game and hasn't been off the ice that long, that's a win situation.
And last one, just more on this. Eric, I guess, do you have a gut instinct or any kind of inside knowledge as to the likelihood of this?
I think it's done, isn't it? When both sides want it to happen, there is no reason to think that there will be any roadblocks. Everybody that's been in that position that I've, since the job was created, from Brian Burke to Colin Gamble to Brendan Shanahan, ultimately has seen it as a stepping stone to an NHL general manager's job. It never happened for Colin Gamble. I think he was somewhat disappointed that it didn't. But I believe that's when somebody takes that job, that's not a lifetime position. That is just too hard. Like, that's like being president of the United States. You go in for a short period of time, you pay your dues, and then you move into something, because these guys are all the same. They want to win, and they want to win with a team. So I absolutely think it's going to happen.
What do you see for Jay Feaster?
I guess it will depend on what the manager, the structure that they come up with. Mm-hmm. But, he is an able hockey guy, so I think that, Shanahan and he will talk, and then they'll see if there's a fit there. But I think that, that Jay Feaster can do many, many things for an organization, and he has the ability to be the assistant general manager or keep the title if Shanahan is the Joe Sakic, if the model for Calgary ends up being like the model in Colorado, where it's not a traditional hockey model, you can still have him as the general manager. I'm not sure what they're thinking, if they're going outside the box in terms of creating titles and positions, but if the hierarchy is Shanahan, Feaster, John Weisbrot, Chris Snow, whatever, that works, and then it'll be up to Brendan Shanahan to evaluate, the people in his department and make decisions going forward.
Boys, appreciate it. Eric, enjoy what's remaining, obviously, of the Stanley Cup Final, and Morganti, say hi to Bobby Ryan for us when you see him in about 10 days.
All right, thanks a lot, guys.
All right. Okay, thanks guys. Al Morganti, Eric Duhatchik, the East-West Hot Stove.